This week in the parish of Bourses and market structure. Derivatives coming next as Baku prepares a new electronic trading system. Deja vu one more time as ATG looks to launch their new Brazilian exchange. MWX sell their CASA stake under sanctions pressure and Vettify buys index. My name is Patrick L. Young. Welcome to the Bourse Business Weekly Digest. It's the Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast, episode 267. Good day, ladies and gentlemen. This is a very brief reduction of highlights amongst the key headlines from the week in market structure. All the analysis of the many events and happenings from the past 7 days can be found in Exchange Invest's daily subscriber newsletter, the unique guide to the bourse business sent daily to your inbox. More details at exchangeinvest.com. Over in BitCarnage, there are cries for leadership. As Crypto News notes, crypto has a leadership problem. What can regulators do? Well, accompanying our Moses-like cartoon, who will lead us into the promised land, asked a Bitcoin with a staff on top of presumably Mount Sinai, the trouble with crypto remains. It's kiddies. Now the childverse of crypto, which was apparently built on great Ayn Randian independent notions of wonderment, has swiftly but tragically descended into a festering pit of criminality on far too many levels. Here is a cri de coeur. Leaders are needed, but all those who deemed themselves messiahs have been jailed, or they're playing dressing up and make-believe in countries like Liberland. Why on earth regulators should help lead the crypto industry is anybody's guess. If you enjoyed this excerpt, you may be interested to know you can read BitCarnage every day on Exchange Invest. Alternatively, if you want to follow BitCarnage, the daily update on happenings in the world of crypto and digital assets, you can find BitCarnage as a standalone on Substack. In the world of growing up exchanges, Hong Kong Exchange's CEO blog started this week with the headline, Faster, Higher, Stronger, Together. After 6 months in situ, Bonnie Wai Chan notes, I must admit that this job has turned out to be both more challenging and more enjoyable than I had ever imagined. Also opening this discussion, after various reforms have already been delivered around the world, Hong Kong Exchanges have published their white paper to spark discussion on shortening stock trading settlement time, aka the T+1 discussion paper is in the public domain, and Hong Kong Exchanges have ambitions to achieve T+1 settlement capacity with the systems ready at least by the end of 2025. This will place Hong Kong Exchanges Group years ahead of Analog EU and UK, sometime in 2026, presumably. Over in London, the AIM market should be axed for failing to win tech floats, was the headline according to the Financial Times, talking about think tanks. In this case, two left-wing think tanks want to take down AIM, which admittedly has been becalmed for some years now under the LSEG, the business built out of exchanges but whose management increasingly just don't get markets. The blithe simplicity of the solutions ignore the real problems, which are analog networks in every sense, which need to be digital in a nation which is struggling to modernise and being plunged backwards by an even more closed-minded regressive left-wing government than its failed predecessor. Back with the AIM closure proposals, as with everything in the Tony Blair universe, a gloss of formica across an established institution is always preferable to actually thinking through reform, with the dreadful consequences which have continued to rot the Blair legacy of profound failure. Over at ESMA in Paris, relying upon the Brussels worldview, they are committed to apparently reach a new deal on clearinghouses. Not, of course, with the titanic clearinghouses of London. No, you can't do that because of Brexit, and you've got to still have essentially some form of spurned spouse divorcee frenzy, PTSD, I suppose one could call it, about the whole situation. No, rather, ESMA are committed to reaching a new deal on clearinghouses with India after withdrawing the recognition of the six Indian clearing corporations in 2023. Elsewhere, it's celebration time. The National Stock Exchange of India have completed a year in the commodity marketplace. At the same time, they may be in commodity derivatives, but NCDEX has around 82% of agri-commodity volume in India. And that, therefore, seems to be the place where it's all happening. NCDEX also, by the way, looks as if it may be preparing for an IPO in the near future. One company not, by the looks of it, on the IPO log right now is Air Carbon Exchange. Their Singapore market seems to be fine, but they're going to be closing their Abu Dhabi Carbon Exchange after 1 year. That's a setback for Air Carbon, whose CEO, William Pazos, was a guest on IPO vid number 50, Air Carbon's net zero emission, some time back. Perhaps it's not quite all roses and mega success, as many promoting VCMs, that's voluntary carbon markets, et al. Are concerned. Then again, there are talks of hundreds of new exchanges in the works. Who knows which ones will succeed? No results of substance amongst the exchange parish this week, just some announcements from Schwab, who are kind of catching up with the bull market after a couple of bad quarters. New markets, however, is very interesting. Rio revs up stock exchange plans to rival São Paulo. It's deja vu one more time, ladies and gentlemen, as ATG look to launch their new Brazilian exchange with backing from the very, very deep-pocketed UAE Abu Dhabi sovereign wealth fund Mubadala. In deals, not such a busy deal week this week, although all the information was in Exchange Invest. We'll pick out one highlight to discuss with you. The Moscow Exchange is divesting its stake in the Kazakhstan Stock Exchange. While KESA has benefited from the relationship with MOEX, the tricky part is the political situation beyond the markets. Thus, there will be a modicum of relief at this news from KESA, tinged with regret at the loss of working relationships with the many good folks at MOEX itself. Exchange Invest, by the way, is proud to have launched a special edition inspired by my visit to ring the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange on July 5th, 2024, my original bestseller, Capital Market Revolution, the first breakthrough book in fintech a decade ago. Patrick L. Young's original bestseller, that's me, by the way, Capital Market Revolution, the first breakthrough book in fintech a decade before that word held common currency, has over 10,000 new words of additional pith, placing the past quarter century in perspective alongside the original text, which has proven remarkably successful through the years. Capital Market Revolution 25th Anniversary Edition is published by Exchange Invest and is now available as an ebook via Amazon Kindle at the ludicrously reasonable price of $9.99, a quarter of the price of the original shorter print book a quarter century ago. While you're waiting for the download of your Kindle copy of Capital Market Revolution's 25th Anniversary Edition about the future of markets in an online world, if you fancy some financial insights with moving pictures, check out our live streams. Tuesdays, 5 o'clock London, 12 o'clock midday New York time. It's the IPO video live show. You can catch the back episodes on LinkedIn and YouTube via a search for IPO-Vid. This week we had an absolutely captivating show, actually. Magnificent IPO Vid number 156, She-Wolves, the untold history of Woman on Wall Street. Our next show, by the way, IPO Vid 157, will be the Quoted Companies Agenda with guest James Ashton. Our finance book of the week, incidentally, is Common Stocks and Uncommon Profits by Philip A. Fisher. Who better to recommend it than Warren Buffett? I sought out Phil Fisher after reading his Common Stock, Uncommon Profits and other writings. A thorough understanding of the business obtained by using Phil's techniques enables one to make intelligent investment commitments. Our next book of the week will be unveiled Saturday in the EI Weekend Edition. And don't forget, if you want all the news on the bourse business sent daily to your inbox, subscribe to Exchange Invest via exchangeinvest.com. It's last call at the price of $375 per annum to join the Exchange of Information. We're going up to $500 per annum imminently. With all the improvements we've been making recently, our user subscription rate simply has to go up to reflect the bigger databases. Over in product news, SPYMEX have set aside Ural's benchmark ambitions for now. The National Stock Exchange of India are keeping their nifty weekly options expiry. EEX will launch new futures for dry and LNG freight markets, as EEX will also launch Irish power futures and extended expiries for selected power markets. The Malaysian bourse is mulling used cooking oil futures amid biofuel demand, and the Philippine SEC wants to boost the number of energy IPOs. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly. We welcome your feedback. You can contact me directly, Patrick at derivativesvision.com, with any comments. Meanwhile, if you enjoyed this show, we would welcome you giving us a thumbs up. Or if you have time, a positive review will always be welcome wherever you find this podcast. Over in technology, that great news from Azerbaijan. The Baku Stock Exchange is ready to launch its new electronic trading system, while the next big product will be derivatives. Equally, we had that interesting deal from TMX. Yes, I know we didn't put in deals, just trying to keep you on the hook here to keep you listening through the whole show. TMX VettaFive. VettaFive itself having been acquired recently by TMX, it's now an acquirer. It's buying end-to-end index provider Index Research and Development. Over in regulation, DORA has taken effect. The Digital Resilience and Cybersecurity Impacts mean, well, frankly, another needless layer of red tape strangling European innovation and extending the doom loop, whereby it's increasingly impossible to build new tech in the European Union. In the UK, well, they're really maximising their efforts to do the best out of Brexit. The FCA, the regulator, is going to maintain their 60% of hours are allowed to be worked from home. That policy will be until the end of next year, so you can stay at home 3 days a week and still work for the UK's financial regulator. There is also the irony that Financial News London had an FCA plans a name and shame case study as landmark reforms take place. Wondering whether it will apply to SME brokers and nomads at all in the London Exchange markets, perhaps the biggest crisis for AIM and the other SME markets around. It's also worth wondering, can the FCA name and shame itself about the fact that there's nobody in the office for more than 2 days a week? Career Paths this week, the new chairman has been appointed for the SFC, the regulator of Hong Kong, with the end of the six-year term of chairman Mr. Tim Leung. Dr. Kelvin Wong Tin Yao is stepping up as chairman of the SFC for a term of 3 years from October the 20th, 2024 to October the 19th, 2027, having been an SFC NED from 2012 to 2018 and a member of the listing committee of the Stock Exchange of Hong Kong from 2007 to 2013. He's currently the chairman of the Accounting and Financial Reporting Council of Hong Kong, and we wish Dr. Wong every success in driving Hong Kong's next economic wave forward. Meanwhile, GH Financials, they've announced the appointment of David Martin as CEO, and there was a fascinating article this week in the Financial Times, King of the Geeks, How Alex Gurko Built a British Trading Titan. Well worth reading that fascinating profile all about Alex Gurko. Over in Big World, meanwhile, it has to be said that while a weekend ago, and that was Saturday the 12th of October, marked 100 days of the UK Labour government, it has sadly turned out even more disastrously incompetent than I'd previously imagined. Seeming to be better than the dismal Sunak government was not a big ask, and already, after 3 months, Labour looks appreciably worse. In one opinion poll, the weak supermajority driven by understandable voter apathy at the appalling political choice Britain was given at the last general election. Finally, Labour's lead has been overturned after 934 days of consecutive first place for the Labour Party. The Conservatives and Labour are tied on 27%. Perhaps more excitingly, the insurgent Reform Party is on 21%. By the way, the Tory Party, they're still actually trying to elect a leader and they can still manage to be equal top of the polls. That's how bad the UK government standard is at the moment. A rally ought to be expected simply because it's hard not to see some form of bounce given broad incompetence, squandering of territory, bribery, corruption, influence, peddling accusations and more all being proven in 100 days, where yet again a left liberal concept that they are the grown-ups back in charge is dismally dangling without proof. My prognosis remains that Keir Starmer gets knifed by his hard left and a form of Labour schism means a new government in 2029. It may be a Conservative Reform coalition or even an outright victory for either opposition party. Whoever can show competence and a coherent ability to do what voters want will win in 2029. That almost certainly isn't going to be Labour, even though today they have a vast 411 out of 650 seats. Or at least that's what they won at the last election 100 days ago. That's already been reduced to 403 seats, with 8 people either resigning the whip in one case or being kicked out of the party for the time being due to rebellions. And on that mysterious and magnificent note, thank you for listening to this Exchange Invest Weekly Podcast 267. Join us via exchangeinvest.com daily, or if you've a new exchange you'd like built, get in touch. My name is Patrick L. Young, and I wish you a great week in life and markets. This show relates to the business of bourses. It is not to be construed as investment advice, nor are we making any investment recommendations.
Please consult an investment advisor before you make any investments, and for goodness sake, do your due diligence and do not make investments without complying with the regulations in your home state. Exchange Invest cannot be held responsible for any investment decisions made as a result of our programme, which is for entertainment purposes only. The material herein is copyright Patrick L. Young at the date of publication, while our music and sound effects are sourced from copyright-free sources. Thanks for listening to Exchange Invest Weekly, the exchange of information.